I know I'm a minute early, but you are way too quiet this morning. If I could get you all to stand up and greet somebody that you haven't said hello to yet this morning. That's way better. Thanks. What I love about this church is the community that that we all have with each other. So it's wonderful to hear when we go from quiet to loud back to quiet, how it feels and what it looks like in this church. I just love it. As our call to worship this morning, I will be reading Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know how this is going to work. We're having some technical difficulties. Are we good? Or we're going to find out. It'll work. Phil will make it work, along with some help. So if you would please rise for our opening song, 10,000 Reasons. Welcome once again. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced or who would like to introduce themselves? No? If you look in your bulletin, and it seems like every time that I worship lead, it goes upside down and then goes upside right and upside down. You know, computers are a wonderful thing, but sometimes they have minds of their own. Leanna was explaining how it happens. So, I really don't see anything in terms of community life. We'll get to sharing in a minute. I really didn't see anything in community life that needs to be announced. September 8th is our, official launch of the fall season. I hate to call it homecoming because, we're all here, so we're all home, right? But that's coming up. Praise and worship will be singing that morning, and then we will be having barbecue after and lots of fun and fellowship. So please make sure that you keep that on your calendar for September the 8th. Anyway, I'm going to do children's story. I only see two. Come on down.
This is always the hardest part of the service for me. Not that, it's just I want to impress you guys. I don't really care so much. I mean, I care about them, but I really want to impress you. Anyway, we're going to try this morning to talk about the psalm that I'm going to be reading in a couple of minutes. Talks about a tree beside some water and paths that we're going to be taking. So who knows what a rainforest is? Yeah, you know what a rainforest is? Is it green? Yeah? Are there lots of birds and trees and all sorts of different plants? Yeah? How about a desert? Not so green? Not so many birds, not so many plants, maybe the odd cactus, but they're just there because there's very little water there, right? So in the Bible, it tells us that there's two kinds of people, and it's sort of like a rainforest and sort of like a desert. So imagine a great and beautiful tree covered with green leaves, and that's like us when we love God. God delights in us when we think about Him. God wants us to be like that strong tree that's sitting beside the flowing river, or like all those wonderful plants in the rainforest. There's lots of life there, and then that means that there's also lots of life in us. We want to be like people that are planted by strong streams, or strong people that are planted by those streams of water. The way we do this is by coming to church, learning about the Bible, and loving God. It's comforting to know that God watches over people who love Him. So let's have a short prayer. Lord, we pray that we can show you how much we love you. Help us to know you better each and every day so that we may grow strong in our faith and our love of you. Amen. So I printed out some pictures of a tree beside a stream. Something for you to color maybe later. All right? Let me go back.
And now we're going to be singing another song.
This is one that written. I think it's written by Steve Bell, and we use it by permission because he has been here and he likes us. Well. Anyway, there are actions to this song. I won't be doing them. We'll just be singing this a couple times through.
Hosanna, Hosanna in the high.
So is there any sharing that anybody would like to do at this time? Personal matters, friends, family that need our prayers this morning? You've got joy. Joy is great.
I've got new good news. I just wanted to follow up on Lhasa's life in Australia, and she's doing really well. She just got a new job, and she's working on a sailboat now. So she takes out tourists and sort of serves and is cook and sort of guide for those who want to travel around the Whitsunday Islands for 2 nights and 3 days. So she's loving life in Australia. And it will be interesting to see the person she comes back as, because she's just been filled with so much joy and pleasure and friendship and camaraderie, as well as guidance from people that are there. So it's been a great experience so far.
Fantastic. And did I give one of those children my prayer? Oh, no. Anyway, I might be winging it. Ah! Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Give me strength. You know, I love doing this job because you are so forgiving when I make little errors like that. So I appreciate that. Anyway, please take a look in the bulletin, and especially under our church family, all those names that are listed there. Louise Lage, Anita Voth, who are in hospital at Bethania, Susanna Buller, Anna Dick, Hildegard Knopf, Harry Lowen, Peter Swatsky, Heidi Schrader at the Irene Barton Eden Center, Walter Fast, Beata Lage, Louise Lage, Annie Stein, and those in our extended family who are doing things and working on health issues at home, Darlene Bargan, Hayden Bartell, Karen Brewer, Susanna Buller, Gary Hebert, Derek and Kim Hoban, Neil Casper, Angela and Morris Korchak, Tracy LeClaire, Kim Lind, and Anita Voth. I'm going to switch it up and say the prayer now, and then we'll sing a couple of songs in a row. Dear Lord, help us welcome you and all who come in your name. Give us a deep love for your living word and for all our brothers and sisters. Help us to avoid slander and deceit in all our dealings. Guide us, O God, by the law given by your Spirit. That way may be blameless and pure. Help us always to seek to please you rather than the favor of others. Make us gentle and compassionate, humble and forgiving, just and holy in all our relationships. Help us be like Christ in whom we believe. Help us to meditate on his word and his example day and night. Lord, help us not only to share the good news of your love with all we meet, but also to share our very selves. Lord, listen to the prayers each of us has in our hearts. Thanks be to you, O Lord, for the word you put upon our hearts. Praise be to you, O God, for the Spirit which lives in us. Amen.
Lord, I need to meet you there. In these waters, healing mercy, draws me freedom from despair. I am going to the Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer.
Your great name.
For our scripture reading this morning, two passages. The first is Psalm number 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that blows away in the wind. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And then John 14, 1-6. And these are the words of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
It is a good morning outside and everywhere, except perhaps in our heads. I feel upside down sometimes too. My sermon today is not a sermon. It is a meditation. And it will jump a little bit because I couldn't do it any other way. I couldn't find a better way. Let's put it that way. We are beginning a new mini-series on the Psalms. And we begin with Psalm 1, and there are three topics, basically, and you will hear the other two topics next time, but this time it is called orientation, the next one is disorientation, and the third one, reorientation. And it reminded me somehow of my own process of life and faith. I went through a time of orientation when I was a child and a youth. And I took things of faith actually for granted. I didn't question it. I accepted it, absorbed it, and felt comfortable with it. And then I went to study theology. Boy, I tell you, studying theology is troublesome. It's dangerous to your faith because that orientation which I had, the basis from which I thought all my thoughts and values flowed from, was suddenly not so sure and secure anymore. And I had only questions and no more answers. You ever gone through life like that, where you have just questions? I felt it was like disassembling of my faith. Disorientation, this would call it. And then, the second or third year of my studies, the next process started, and that was reassembling or reorientation of my faith. It wasn't the same thing anymore as it had been before. But I think it was the stronger for it. I did not naively and uncritically accept anything and everything anymore. But the storms of life and the questions that would come after were not able to shake that new faith that had reassembled out of the growing process of doubting and finding faith again. So I hope my words of meditation today and the Sundays that will come will help us to come to that clearer and better understanding. Now to my sermon, meditation. This was just a prelude, okay? Orientation. Which path do you choose in life? Now, we all make decisions. We make decisions every day. We make decisions almost constantly when you think about it. So every decision we make, great or small, throughout our lives, each one of them will have a direct effect on the remainder of our lives, doesn't it? I choose to do this instead of that, and that choice will bring different things in life, take me a different direction than if I had chosen the other path. There are many paths to be chosen. Children begin with their choices. I always have to smile when little kids, their first words, it's not always mom or dad. Sometimes their first word is no. Because they're making a choice. We say, you should do this, you should eat this, you should wear that, you should go to bed now, whatever. And they say, no. A choice. The choice has consequences. Now, those are little things, and we can smile about it and laugh about it. But when we grow, we make more important choices. When we become youth and adults, which school we attend, who we choose as friends, what subject to study, what profession to choose, what person to marry, which university to attend, or which professional school or whatever, all are choices that will influence the rest of our life. And that's okay. And then when we grow older, we have to make different choices. We have to choose if we stay in our house or if we should move into assisted living. We have to choose if we should fight to keep our driver's license or if it would be safer to give it up. Many choices. They may seem not all that world-shattering when you look at choices of other people, but when it is our choice and it influences our life, it can be quite earth-shattering, can't they? Those are hard choices. We all face decisions. We find ourselves at crossroads in life. And you know, what the Greek word for crossroads really is, I thought that was a tremendous discovery when I found that out. It really excited me. The word for that point where you have to make decisions in life, the crossroads, in Greek is called krisis or crisis. I thought it was strange. Why would that be a crisis? Because my first reaction was, I thought of critical people. You know critical people? Do you love them? Do you like them even? I would venture to say that most of us don't like critical people too much. Because what do critical people do? They criticize, right? That is, they make a decision point a negative experience. But in the New Testament, the word crisis actually means you have come at a crossroads, and in medicine, they still use it that way. Ask the doctors and nurses among you. They will know. When somebody is critical, what does it mean? It's not that they criticize. That means it's life or death. Right? In medicine, critical or crisis means you have come at a crossroads. It can go either way. And you know what? Psalm 1 is that kind of calling us to be aware that we are at the crossroads and say, you have to choose. You have to be critical. You have to choose which path will you go. And then those decisions that bring us to this, that we make at these crossroads, those decisions will influence our whole life. So, how do you decide? Now, really, I said before, we don't like I don't like critical persons too much. It's different if I can be the critical one. I love to challenge people when I was younger. Now that I am getting older, not so much anymore. But in my youth and young adult years, I really loved to challenge people. And it was not only to put them on the spot, it was really, I wanted to learn. I wanted to have answers that satisfied. So I would challenge people, especially my professors, because I figured that way the truth will come out, and I will learn something that is helpful for my life. So I'm calling you all to become critical people. Not in the sense of criticizing others, but that you are very critical of everything you have assumed so far in your life. I want you to become critical in the sense of the choices you have made, if they were the right ones, and perhaps need a correction, of course. Be critical with yourself. Be aware that we are at crossroads and that the choices we make are very, very important. We basically have two choices, the psalm says. You can choose a path that follows the teachings from God. And the English translation says law, and the Hebrew says Torah, means the same thing. But Torah, for a Hebrew-thinking person, for a Jewish person, would be the whole law. Okay? All the teachings of God. So, yes, you can choose that one, or you can choose the other one. And Psalms often speak in images, right? So here, it's not geographical as the person who wrote some ideas here. It says, like, it's not like high road and low road. No. It is a different road. It's not geographical. It is spiritual. And that is, do you choose the way God wants you to live? Or do you choose the way that you want to live? You know what the original temptation in the Bible is? Remember back in Genesis and the creation story and Adam and Eve? What was the temptation? When it said to Eve, you know, oh, no, it's okay to do this, because then, and that's the temptation, you will be like God. In other words, you can replace God in your life. That is the original sin. That is the original temptation. And you know what? I think we are still struggling with that temptation every day of our life. Today. And tomorrow. And the day after. Do we set God at the center of our life, or do we put ourselves there? We can go to the godly path, says the psalmist, or we can choose the alternative, what I like to call the path of egocentrism, or somebody else called the path to nothingness, where we replace God at the center of our life with us instead. Now, don't tell me you don't have that temptation sometimes. Because when you do, I will have a hard time believing you. Because I'm struggling with that all the time. Don't you? I want it my way. We even have songs about that. I did it my way, right? We all want to do it our way. That is the original temptation. So the psalmist says, choose. You have to choose. You're at a crossroads. You either put God at the center of your life, or you put yourself at the center of your life. Which will it be? Which will you choose? The answer should be simple. Everyone, one should think, would choose happiness and prosperity over nothingness. Right? It's a no-brainer. Why would you want to go down the path to nothing? When nothing in the end is being offered. A path that causes you regret, disappointment, and perhaps even pain. No one in their right mind would want to end up there, would they? Yet, that's where most of the people go, most of the time. They go there because they do not believe that God can offer them a road that will bring them great joy. Let's be honest about that. Because if giving up control is what should give us happiness and prosperity, that's the word being used here, then that's a very hard thing to do, because I like to be in control of my life. Don't you? We do that from little baby on, right? We try to control our environment. Down to air conditioning. We control as much as we can around us, to be honest. It fits us. We are the kings and queens in our own little fiefdoms, and be it ever so small and humble, but it's my choice. I once had a conversation with a street person, slept by the river under the bridge. He smelled pretty badly. He was hungry. I took him for lunch, and they didn't let us eat our lunch in the restaurant because of his odor. So we took our lunch and we ate it outside. And then I said to him finally, after we had eaten, I ate with him together. I said, you know what? You really need a shower. That way they won't throw you out of the restaurant. And he says, well, the river is quite dirty. It doesn't really help. And the clothes don't get clean there. So I offered him to take him to a place where he can wash his clothes and take a shower. But he said, thank you. He will look after it himself. And then I walked away, wished him well. And then I thought, isn't he stupid? And then I thought, wait a minute. He's doing exactly what we all are doing. He wants to be in control of his life. So why am I looking down at him for it? Wrong. We all do it. The psalm says, you will come to prosperity. Now, all of us like to prosper, right? As one of the old blessings, may you prosper. And how do we understand prosperity? People think prosperity means that when you're very successful in your job, or they measure their their success in how much money they make or have, how much possessions they own, how much power they have accumulated, how much they can impact their environment and even over other people's lives. I had a friend from school way back when who became a politician. He was in a different country, not here, so don't try to figure out who it was. And he became addicted to politics. He was a businessman. He still is a businessman. And he always had did his business on the side and kept it. But after a few terms, he didn't get elected back in. And, you know, he has tried several times to get back into politics. I said, it is like a drug. He is addicted. Because that power was what kept him going. He wasn't afraid to work long hours, to make all sorts of sacrifices just to be in that position. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a politician if you try to do the work for the good of the people. So I won't put that down. But if it is to satisfy your own craving for power, I have a question. Remember I said be critical? Question. I have a question. Why? Is it the power? Is it money? Is it possession and all the toys? Is it the appearance of looking good and being envied by others? Is that the motivation in your life? It's the wrong path. The psalmist said, that's the wrong path. That's where the mockers and the sinners and all those people sit. And we are one of them sometimes. To choose the path of the ego is a futile attempt to be someone important. It is nothing more than a way to look good or fill oneself with gratification. When one is consumed with oneself, they are choosing, as the psalmist says, a life that, like chaff, the wind will blow away. In other words, a life that is self-centered, or worse, a life that is a life of self-righteousness, will perish. On the other hand, a life that chooses happiness will prosper. To be like a tree that is planted by the streams of water. Now, what does that mean? It means that tree can survive drought. It can survive storms. It has strong roots. It's deep down. It has strong branches. It will not give in that easy. And if the storm of life comes about, it will survive. Now, some people think that if you're a Christian, then bad things shouldn't happen to you. That's not so. The New Bible doesn't promise us that. Bad things will happen to you, to some more so than to others. That is life. Bad things happen to good people. That is not a question of your faith. It is not a question of your value. It is not a question of you being accepted by God. No. The difference between the believer and the unbeliever, according to my understanding of the Bible, is the believer will weather the storm, and the unbeliever will despair. In the end, it is nothing, and it's blown away. So, to be prosperous then means to be open to the teachings of God, Torah, His law, His way. I believe it was a writer named Walsh, Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote in his book, Conversations with God, there are no mistakes, only lessons. I thought that was a good sentence. That's why I remember it. I'm not sure about the author, okay, but I think that was the one. But there are no mistakes in life, only lessons. You know how much guilt Mennonites tend to carry with them? I don't know why that is. Catholics are much better in getting rid of it, and other Protestants mostly too. But we Mennonites have a way of always feeling guilty because we are not good enough and haven't done well enough. Well, if it's true that there are no mistakes but only lessons, then stop feeling guilty and learn. Learn to live differently. So you made a mistake. No, you have learned a lesson, if you see it, and you change your life accordingly. And now you can go ahead and go a new way. And you will prosper. And you will find happiness, even if you sleep under a bridge. Prosperity is not how much money and power you have. Prosperity, as the Bible looks at it, is that you are rich in the teachings of God. But sometimes I feel like Thomas in the Luke text. He says, Lord, how should we know? And Jesus said, okay, put it very plain and simple. I am the way. Look at me. Not at me. Jesus, okay? Jesus said, look at me. Hear what I say. Observe what I do. What does he do? read once through the Gospels. I told you last time I was up here, I said, you know, I didn't have books to read, so the only choice I had was to read the Bible when I was a kid. By the time I finished grade 6, I had read the Bible cover to cover. And I've done it several times over. Well, if you like to read and there's nothing else, that's what you do, right? I didn't understand everything, and I'm still learning. And that's all right. But learn to choose the right way. You have a choice to make. You are in a crisis every day and sometimes several times a day. Which way will you choose? Choose a path that leads to prosperity and happiness by listening to what God is teaching you, what Jesus is exemplifying, what he has taught and what he has done. Listening to your heart that is trained in following him. Pursue the course that brings peace and fulfillment. At the time, staying connected to the one true source of life. Now, most of us are sometimes competitive. You know, I've stopped playing games with people because it always brings up my competitive side. I want to win. So I stopped doing that because I thought this is not a good way to approach it. And I'm trying to train myself to be non-confrontational. Difficult for a person who likes to challenge everything. But one time, I felt good about confronting somebody. A couple came. Their marriage was in trouble. And I listened to them. And they were arguing because there somehow had to be a winner, right? I observed those two people, how they were competing with each other rather than working together to learn, striving for peace or happiness in their marriage. So I said to them, why, what I have seen is you two are only competing. You're not cooperating. You're competing with each other and you forget to work together. And it came like a surprise to them. And they looked at me and then they looked at each other and then suddenly they were both very quiet. So I hope... Yeah, I know, they did learn, but I hope we all learn that that is not the way to happiness. You don't always have to be right. You don't always have to win the argument or the game. You don't always have to lord it over others. You can serve. You can give instead of take. And then you will connect with each other. And then you will use the energy that you have used for competition to climb the ladder of success by creating not an upside down kingdom where you want to have to be at the top, but rather a circle of life that is expandable. And whenever somebody anew comes or a different wants to join the circle, all we have to do is let them in. And they're part of it. We are not a pyramid. We are a circle. We are a community. Not where we rule and are ruled, but a community which includes and supports. Prosperity is available. Happiness is available to all of us. It is a path we choose that yields peace, harmony, and contentment. as long as we are open to the teachings of God and remain connected to God rather than live our self-centered as self-centered persons, wrapped tightly in our own egos, we can live as the psalmist says, happy and prospering in all that we do. Don't you want that? Then choose that way. Amen.
If you would please rise for the benediction and remain standing for the closing song. And if you could just give me a second after the end of the song to get to the back of the sanctuary, please. And now, as we go from this place of worship, may the grace of God the Father be with you. May the wisdom and teaching of Jesus Christ the Son guide you. And may the strength of the Holy Spirit be in you. Amen.
praise thee. Out of the stones that I found thee, I set them down in the yard. Now with the water, I build an altar to praise thee. Out of the stones that I found thee, I set them down in love that they love. Knowing you can make them whole.